joining us right now. You hear him on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, our partner Jim Duquette. Hi, Jim.
Guys, what's going on today? How are you? Happy New Year to you.
Good. So what happens in Cooperstown this summer? They have to close the shops or what?
Be a lot of chirping crickets. You're going to hear a lot of quiet. If you go up there, it actually might be a good time if you haven't been to go up there. You aren't not going to get any lines. You won't need reservations at the restaurant.
That's true.
It's going to be one of those type of years.
Feel bad for those people because that is a huge weekend for them.
I do. You know what? I really do feel bad for Scott because, you know, as you know, that town, you know, it's a sleepy little town for most of the year. And in that week, it turns into like a city, you know. I mean, they're bulging at the seams. There's so many people there. And it's a lot of the businesses, they do all of their, most of their revenues are during that week.
Hey, Jim, earlier today, we're talking to Jim Duquette. I was telling Scott that this gets me frustrated more than anything else, talking about the baseball writers that vote on the Hall of Fame. Because, you know, the fact that some years they won't vote, or I guess there's some guys that won't vote for anybody their first year, which is just silly. And then, you know, when we're looking at the list here, I don't have a problem with someone saying that guy was busted for steroids. I'm not voting him. But the issue I have is when you lump everybody else in. This year, if you're going to look at the numbers, I don't know how Mike Piazza doesn't get in as arguably the greatest hitting catcher of all time.
Jeremy, I'll tell you what, I get ticked off about it. I care about the sport, you know, and I know you guys do too, but I get frustrated because I think that the process, you know, this year, the process, it's clear to me anyway that it needs fixing. It's broken. There's 579 Hall of Fame voters this year. Scott, I know you've been involved with the committee on the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I can tell, I studied all of the different other sports. If the other three sports have some form of committee and review, I think all of them are far better than what we do in baseball, and I think the NFL's is the best from what I could tell. Just because I feel confident that at least in the NFL, you have their resumes, what they've done, their body of work, and there's somebody selling it, and you're there, and you're studying it, and what are you there for, Scott, for a couple of days?
Yeah, it's about an eight-hour meeting on Super Bowl Saturday, yeah.
I mean, and to me, you know, as a fan, as somebody who's been in the game like I have a high degree of confidence that you're looking at the right players, that you're going to put the right, the deserving people that will go in, and if they don't go in this year, they might go in next year, or they might go in the year after, but it's not going to be because it wasn't studied. You got some people there was a woman out in L.A. who voted, put a vote in for Sean Green because she said he was the face of the franchise for the Los Angeles Dodgers for that period of time. You know what I mean? You go and you see the absurdity of some of these votes. It gets so frustrating, and to me, I want to scream.
Sure. Well, football has a pretty good backup, but maybe baseball might consider. Football has a rule, minimum of four each year, maximum of seven. Baseball, I know less players, but maybe a minimum of two, because there are a lot of candidates that will get backed up.
Yeah, and they've averaged a little over 1.5. So 1 year, a couple of years it's one, a couple of years it's two. I mean, it's very, you know, last year's two. You know, obviously this year it'd be none of the players. I like the stringent standards.
Sure, you don't want to water it down. Yeah, you want to make it
special. I don't want to water it down, right. Yeah, exactly. You know, but here's the thing. If you're voting, Scott Knight, if you're sitting here and you go, geez, I can vote for 10. As a baseball writer, I can vote for 10 right now. That's the max.
Mm-hmm.
And you have your 10. And now next year, and none of those 10 get in, and now you have on next year's ballot, Maddox, Glavin, Frank Thomas, Jeff Kent, Mike Mussina, right? How do you sort through the 10 you just voted for this year and add, you know, three of those five, let's say? It's very, very difficult. And they are starting to get backed up.
Were you surprised the Bonds and Clemens vote was as low as it was?
Yeah, I was very surprised. I you know, when you look at it, they're making a statement, right? The writers in those particular areas, they're making a statement. I get that. I can't sit there and disagree on those two in particular, but man, when they get 30%,
yeah, they got a long way to go.
So, woo, man, but Clemens 30. Now, here's the thing: this is I find this fascinating. Though Clemens 37.6, Barry Bonds 36.2. Eight more voters voted for Clemens than Bonds. Now, I don't know if there's an awful lot of distinction between the two.
Right.
Hey, Jim, you know, just you mentioned a guy voting for or some lady voting for Sean Green. I said there's somebody voted for Aaron Seeley. And I mean, you look around the league. I think those people need to have their votes taken away from them. And
right.
I mean, what's the end game for this as far as steroids? Because there are clearly I alluded to or made some bad analogy to Scott earlier saying, look, I may speed all the time and never get caught. My insurance isn't going to go up at the end of the year unless I have a speeding ticket to show for it. We may have guys using steroids, but there's no way to tell. And if they're all just going to get lumped in, how long is it going to take to get some of these guys actually in the Hall of Fame? And at least in your opinion, do you think some of those guys belong and should we put like an asterisk by it or something?
No, I think that the Hall has to take all of this under consideration. They have to take a leadership a role in this and say, you know what, guys, listen, I want you to vote on these players in their era. Right, we are going to identify this era as the steroid era. You vote on whether you feel within this era they're not compared to other eras, right? Because so all those numbers are gaudy. We know that, and we know that some are going to get in that we don't even know. But you have to have some kind of standard, I think. Maybe it's a higher standard where you go, all right, well, I didn't think he took, or maybe he did. And his, you know, Sammy Sosa, right? There are a lot of people think he took steroids. He had over 600 home runs. Right? So you want to discount that in some way and say you don't think he's worthy of getting in? That's fine. Frank Thomas, on the other hand, had a little over 500 home runs. He actually organized his teammates to make sure that there was some kind of a trip, and because there was a point in 03 where we were trying to get drug testing, and if there is a number of failed tests, then it would automatically kick in. He was trying to organize guys so that we had drug testing. Like he's been so adamant against PEDs. I feel comfortable that he wasn't taken. Well, so his numbers would be viewed in a different through a different scope, but it's clearly an issue. And I'm curious from your standpoint, Scott. I talked to Bill Polian, and we had another writer on who was a part of the process like you. Does steroids even come up in your conversation when you guys are going through it from a committee standpoint?
We don't have to judge. All we judge is their performance on the field. Right in our bylaws, anything off the field, performance enhancing, we're not supposed to take any of that into consideration.
Right. It's not even an issue, right? So, you know, to me, I think we've gone a little too far in it from the writer's standpoint, and some of these guys are torn by it. They're calling out for – I mean, some of the big names in our sport, Jason Stark,
sure,
is crying out for – he's like, hey, listen, I want guys from the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
You guys – I've heard him on your show. I mean, you guys one of the bright, intelligent writers.
Absolutely.
In baseball. If he's at that point and others like him are at that point, I think we have an answer of what we need to do.
Well, the sad part is, you know, I was telling Scott this. We're talking to Jim Duquette. You know, ESPN did, what was it, Wednesday night or Tuesday night, they had a special on this. And they had Pedro Gomez there, and they had Tim Kirchen. Kirchen said he went over his list, his ballot, you know, probably 100 different times. And even when he finally had 10 guys he was voting for, he still didn't think he had it right. And Pedro right. Gomez spoke up and says, well, I only had 3 on my list, and I know I got it right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we're going to have it split down the middle, then obviously the guys that aren't getting the votes, they're not going to get in. They got to get 75%. So it has to be swayed one way or the other, or there has to be some statement made saying these guys aren't allowed in because they've done steroids or vote on them because of what they've done in their career. Because we all can say what we want about certain players, but there are plenty of guys that haven't been busted for it. So why should they be lumped in because I'm guessing he may have done it?
Right. Well, I agree, and that's where it gets into the judge and jury stuff, which drives me nuts. There's no doubt. Jeff Bagwell, Craig Biggio fell under that. Mike Piazza, I really fell under that carpet as well. But here's the thing that I thought Jason Stark's point was tremendous, and I've been saying this for a long time. To me, right now, Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame. He's the all-time hits leader. And that's a different story, but leave him there for a second. Right now, Roger Clemens is going to have a hard time getting in. He's a 7-time Cy Young Award winner, the most of any pitcher ever. Barry Bonds, 762 home runs, the all-time home run leader, not likely to get in right now. Just start with those three guys. Can you imagine having a baseball Hall of Fame without the best of the best in there? I mean, what kind of museum? It's a museum. What kind of Hall of Fame do you want to have? I want to have a museum. I can't ignore what we saw with our own eyes in the 90s, in the 2000s, that these guys played the game.
But it does make it tough, Jim, for those guys voting, and I'll try to defend them a little bit.
Yeah.
When it says honor, integrity, character, sure, and you get into some of those things, then you're in a gray area.
No doubt. And that's why I think, that, you know, as you said with the NFL, Scott, take that part of it out of it.
Change the bylaws.
Put an asterisk on the whole era. The guy goes in, mm-hmm. that era, hey, he was part of the steroid era. Or if there's any evidence that they took him, you know, they showed up in the Mitchell report or the game of shadows, you know, Canseco fingered him, whoever, however you want to do mm-hmm. it, put it in there. To me, that would be more better. Because go up there, imagine going up there with your kids. You say, hey, listen, here's Hank Aaron. He had 755 home runs. He's the number two all-time home run leader. Well, really, Dad, who's number one? Well, I can't really talk about him. That's crazy, you know?
Well, I said this to Scott earlier, and maybe I'm rehashing this just a bit, but I think it's a huge point of contention to make regarding the guys that vote on this, and maybe it's not descriptive enough for them to understand what they can and can't vote for. But anybody that comes out, and I brought up the year that Cal and Tony Gwynn came up for the vote, if you watch baseball, you know both of those guys are Hall of Famers. I mean, their accolades are across the board. You can see everything that they've done. There's been no questions surrounding those two cats about steroids or anything like that. And even they don't even get – I'm not saying they have to get 100% of the vote, but there's always going to be one guy that has an issue or something. But for them not to be majority, 95%, whatever, and get in, it's ridiculous. And when you're talking about integrity, honor, and all this other – how come the writers don't have to have that when they're voting? You know, times change.
It's an imperfect world we live in. Hey, Jim, is the testing working? Numbers are down.
Yeah.
I saw the Astros' top prospect just got busted. It seems like it's working.
Well, it is for working. You know, Jonathan Singleton, that would be the equivalent of, say, Manny Machado, for the Orioles, for the listeners. I mean, that's how good this guy is. Tested positive for marijuana. By the way, that would be at least second time that he tested positive, because first time it's 25. So, from that standpoint, that's different. But I think from the other standpoint, the testosterone, they just approved today in the owners' meetings, further HGH random blood testing for HGH in season.
That's big.
I was surprised that we had a couple of high testosterone tests that this summer, Bartolo Colon and Melky Cabrera. So I think they're going through that whole collection process, which Ryan Braun kind of escaped, but also they're trying to ramp it up. So from the baseball standpoint, I think it's the toughest. It's the toughest testing program, I think, in any of the sports. And I do feel like it's working, even though we've caught a couple other guys.
Hey, Jim, there was a rumor this week about J.J. Hardy possibly in a three-way deal with the Cubs and Tigers. Any other moves, or do you buy into that one happening? Are you hearing anything on the Orioles front?
I wasn't buying that one. And it's not on that front, no, Jeremy. There's no truth that the Orioles are discussing it now. The other teams may want him, which I can understand, but it fits in Detroit. But Rick Porcello is a guy that is on the downside right now and couldn't get that kind of value at all. That one didn't fly the test. But I would say this with the Orioles, they're still out there. I was hearing conflicting reports. Well, they're looking for pitching. They're still looking for hitting. Michael Morris, to me, is a perfect guy that would fit. Problem is, you're going to have competition. Every team in the American League East is looking to add a guy like Michael Morris. Yankees, Red Sox, Tampa, we know, except with the exception of Toronto.
Is Toronto going to be able to field a farm team?
I don't know if they need a farm team, as long as they can keep those guys healthy. I mean, they seem to, anybody that they can trade for, they're going to do it.
Jim, thanks for the visit. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. You got it anytime.
All right, Jim Duquette weighing in. You can hear him on Baltimore Baseball tonight.